All right, today's message is you have power over temptation. And some of the things that God's been really laying on my heart about our basics is sometimes we forget who really has the power. And one of those areas is that for us to generally exercise, genuinely exercise the power and authority that God's given to us, we must have order in our lives. And last week I spoke about the need to have goals and setting goals and having a plan. And what's this plan? And I showed you my plan. My plan is both physical, spiritual, ministry-wise, personal-wise. It encompasses everything. And then I submit it to God. I lay it out before God and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, here's my plan. Because the Word says man plans, God brings it to pass. So I submit my plan to him, and then I leave it up to him to decide how this is going to happen and when it's going to happen. Amen? And you'll be surprised how he works, how he does things. But without a plan, you plan to fail. And most of us forget to make a plan. We get caught up in the world's thing. And the world's thing is a resolution, which to me is a prescription of failure. Because I've never heard of anybody who's fulfilled their New Year's resolution. Why? Because it's unrealistic. But a plan has to be realistic, it has to be measurable, and it has to be flexible. We have to be flexible because God is that way. So today we're going to deal with temptation. And sometimes we equate temptation with deep sins, but I want to keep it in reference to where we are and our understandings so that we understand that without this plan, we will be tempted. And we probably have already been tempted not to make a plan. Really, think about it. How many have made a plan for this year? Praise God. My question is, why haven't you? I've been so busy, Pastor. You know, I've had this, I've had that. That's an excuse. It really is. It's an excuse that we're agreeing with Satan and we're not staying in focus with what the Lord has. And so we don't know what the Lord's will is for us because we haven't planned for it. Okay? So we have to make a plan. And Satan will do things to keep us because his whole thing is to divert us from fulfilling the destiny that God has called for us. And it all starts with us having a plan. Amen? Goes back to the teachings of sit, walk, and stand. Nothing different from that. Nothing difficult. But it is all basic. Turn to Luke, the 4th chapter. And we're going to deal with temptation. We're going to deal with what it is, what temptation is. Give a better understanding, recognizing these temptations. And finally, overcoming the temptations. And how do we do that? Starting in verse 1, Luke 4, I'll read to verse 14, or including verse 14, and it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. And where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I will give it to anyone I want to. So if you will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. If you are really the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. And part of this area, and I'm not going to focus specifically on these temptations, because we should have heard some of the basic elements through the years and all. But what I want to do is try to take it a little bit deeper and get past the surface of what these scriptures are conveying. And the simple fact is, Luke here is exposing spiritual warfare. Okay? And it's real. And sometimes what we do is we have these visions of the exorcist. We think that spiritual warfare is when the things are spinning on the wall, or our kids, their heads are turning around and they're turning all kinds of different colors. They vomit on us. You know, it's kind of like opening up a sewer and they vomit. You know, spiritual warfare in its basic thing has to deal with your thinking capacity and what your priorities are. That's the truth. And if we can understand and admit, be courageous enough to admit, that we have not been thinking God's thoughts. Really, that's what it's all about. So God has really gotten us to a place of understanding that we have to go back to basics. We have to clean the foundations up a little bit so that we can understand where we're going, but also understand that where we're going is going to be into a full view apostolic ministry example to the world around. The one-man show, which was done in the 80s, where the pastor does everything, that has come to an end. It's still in many churches, but it's not successful. Program-based churches, as much as I have resisted that idea, we have slowly drifted into a program-based church. We have not become relational to the place that we need to be. And the only way that that's fulfilled is through a pure cell church ministry. And this is why we're assessing the ministries, so that we can get with the plan, put it before the Lord, and then let Him orchestrate it the way He wants to get it done. Of which, you guys, lucky enough, are party to this great ordaining of God. And it's all geared to finding our place, putting into practice that which God has called to us for what purpose? To fulfill the Great Commission. Each and every one of us have been called to win the loss. We were saved to go win somebody else. That's the whole thing. And I think what we have done is we have forgotten that. We've gotten comfortable sitting in church, feeding on the Word, getting fat, but we're not putting into practice those things that God has called for us to do that. If so, we would not be in the condition that we're in now. We would not have the circumstances that are happening. And because of it, I really believe is we're not paying attention to the temptations that are coming to us. We are actually embracing those temptations because those temptations are always easier than fulfilling the destiny of God. And if we see the temptations, you see one temptation here that Satan tempts Christ. He says to him, you know, if you would just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. In its basic element, what he's saying there is, I'll give you something temporal if you forsake the eternal. That's what he's saying. Are we really in the Word to understand what it is that God has called to us? Karen shared something with me that gets me so excited. And I'm going to put her on the spot because she said she was going to come up here and share it. Well, she's not. So I'm going to share it for her so that the next time when the Lord speaks, she's going to come up here. But she said that she saw us and there was this fire around us. This fire. And it speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's upon us. And then she said, he showed again, there was this fire that was burning in our hearts. And that's the love of Jesus in our hearts. Well, we have the anointing and the love. Now we need to share it. We need to go out and give it to people in such a way. So what we're going to do is we're going to deal with these basics and fundamentals that we know that are real, but we need to exercise them, make them our own, and move out there to take Jesus to the highways and byways to help those who are hurting and in bondage. That's what it's about. Sorry to to disappoint you. It's not about all the hallelujahs and what gifts I have and, you know, the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's about winning the lost and filling Father's house up. And that's what the apostolic church is all about. And as we transition into it, and there'll be time for us to transition, we should get more excited about the opportunities that we should be praying for and seizing and recognizing them to win the lost. That's what it's all about. This spiritual warfare is real. Satan is real. As much as the world wants to deny and medicate everybody, healing is of God. Sickness is not of God. And he has a direct progression and a prescription for fixing all our problems. And all the problems are in here. All the solutions to them are in here. And this is a book that we don't sit down on a table and let it sit there, as we illustrated through the program with Mrs. Stiles dusting off her Bible to show how religious she was with the kids program. We're to study this, and we're supposed to make it part of our lives. And those areas that are not made real to us, we have to ask God to make it real. We have to take ownership of this. Because you see, he's taken ownership of you. And he expects a return in that. So, if we can understand how the basics have gotten deviated, and it's because of the temptations that have been given to us, I want us to move on quickly to what is a temptation? The biblical word for temptation is prirasmus, which means to test or to prove through adversity. Okay? And a lot of times we think that the testing is a sexual. Well, that's one. It tests our character. It tests the morality of an individual. And a lot of times we give in to that. Why? Because our flesh wants to be gratified. Right? Easy way of putting it is, I like the exercise we had in building the gingerbread houses. And some of us got a little intense. And it just shows how far we have to go, because, you know, if we were truly in the Spirit of God, we wouldn't have gotten intense. We would have exhibited the fruits of the Spirit. We would have understood about some of the dynamics that were taking place. We wouldn't have gotten frustrated. And part of that is because we have not recognized that it was a test. And when we had to test, we failed miserably in the test. Because we thought that the test was, I gotta build this, I gotta make it beautiful. We're gonna impress everybody with how I can put this thing together. Well, that's true, because if you have a building mentality, that's great. But the test also goes much deeper. And part of this is that the modern definition for temptation is the purpose of proving or improving one's character. Okay? God is in the business of improving your character, not making you a character. He's trying to keep that characteristic going, but he wants to improve your internal character of who you are. Okay? Now the Bible says that it's impossible for God to tempt man, and that is true. He does not tempt us, because his intent through this testing is to improve your character and my character, which makes him good. He loves it when we're able to recognize the test and allow the test to absorb us so that he can take out of us that which is displeasing to him so we can exhibit Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't do that. Satan uses the test, the temptation, and a lot of times he brings those temptations to us that first, one, is to divert us from our call. Some of us have a call that we've been wrestling with, and we don't like it because It just doesn't go in our mind. And so Satan is able to sidetrack us from attaining that because we fail to understand that the things that God gives to us are good. They're pure. They're holy. They come down from Him and they're put into us. Why? Why does He give us these things? He gives us these things so that we are able to go and win the lost that are drawn by these attributes that He gives to us. You see, it's not about you, it's about Him. And He dwells where? In us. And so, I like to say it's kind of like the Lazarus situation where Jesus stood up there and He called Lazarus out of the tomb. It wasn't Lazarus coming out of the tomb. He only came out because Jesus called him. Jesus in this tomb, and He wants to resurrect Himself out of here. And we have a real simple way of explaining this, and that happens by baptism. Isn't that the event that happened just before Jesus went into the wilderness? Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Him, He was immersed in the water, and He came out in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But He did not come back with power until after the temptation. What happens in baptism? Most of you have been baptized. What happens in baptism? Old man dies and new man rises. What's that mean? You are a new creation. What it really means is when I exchanged, there was this exchange that went on. And I said, you know, what was going on in me, I was making a public declaration of this exchange. And this exchange said, I no longer live, I now live for Jesus Christ. Because it's the life that He now has. If we look at the tomb, and we see all this, He was buried for 3 days, and that's what baptism is. We were immersed, we baptized, we buried the old man, and we came out as a new creation, right? Full of power? No. Full of the Spirit? Yes. Full of the Spirit. You have no power until you overcome the temptations. And Jesus has given you that ability to overcome the temptations. How has He done this? He has done this by giving us His Word, by placing the Trinity within us, to help us, and that we should go to the cross and die daily so that the life that we now live is the life that He has taken and comes out of us. Amen? So if we can keep temptation really categorized in three areas, one, Satan does it to get us into disobedience, to keep us in disobedience to God's will. He does it in a subtle way to divert our attention from the will of God for ourselves. Second, we anger God either by our unrighteous acts, we act upon the sin, or we place unrighteous demands upon God. And so our situation happens in such a way that it becomes deplorable. There's a slow boat going down, and eventually this boat sinks, and we have nothing. Because we're asking God to do something that is against His will and against His character that He's already empowered you to do. And that's why I say, you know, you have no power or authority until you overcome the temptation. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, he shall flee. But the predicating thing is submit to God. If you submit to God, resist the enemy, and he shall flee. Power and authority comes. Power and authority. And that's what an apostolic church is. It's filled with power and authority. Why? Because they're bent on doing the will of God that's for their lives, not for the convenience of sitting back and doing things. Satan wants to lure us into disobedience. We anger God by our unrighteous acts, by giving into it. And God is really using this scenario, He's trying to reveal the conditions of our wicked hearts. He's showing us how divided we are from what he wants us to do to from where we are. And so when we have this going on, we're in this turmoil. We're constantly vacillating back and forth in such a way that, you know what? What do you want me to do, God? Well, all you have to do is get in this word. But you know what? I just don't have time. Temptation. Deviation from what God wants you to do. He wants you to know him by knowing his word, and then he expects us to be obedient to his word, his will, and because you don't have any power or authority, or you're in confusion, is because you don't know what he's telling you. You may have read this 100 times. And I've told you, do what it says, and you will have understanding come eventually. You can't comprehend this first and then do it. It's the other way. We walk by faith, not by sight. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I read the word aloud. I need to have my faith built up. How do I build my faith? By exercising it. Jesus exercised his faith, verbally declaring what was written to the enemy. He was not going to submit himself to the subtle deviations of the enemy. He was going to fulfill the destiny, the righteous destiny that God had called on his life, and that was to be Savior of the world. How do we recognize temptation? Well, first of all, we have to understand, again, our baptism is not a baptism that is a ritual. That's what the people out there want to tell you. It's a ritual. It's just symbolic. No, it's not. It's not symbolic. It's something with definition, and this definition is something that's really takes on our flesh. John 1 says, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word's in you. It wants to take over your flesh. But if you're not in the Word, you don't know the Word, he don't know you. But Lord, I cast out demons in your name. But Lord, I prophesied. But Lord, I healed the sick. But Lord, I gave to the poor. But Lord, he don't care about your righteous deeds. He cares about your righteous character. And James says, you tell me with the faith that you have, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. How are you walking? Can we see how subtle the enemy is in keeping us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives? What is the will of God? What has God spoken to you specifically? Well, you just have to understand, Pastor, I'm waiting for this person to get on board with it. It's not about this person. It's about you. You're going to stand before the Lord individually, and he's going to want an accounting of what you did with his son. Not how many Bible verses you memorized. I don't do chapter and verse, and I don't see anywhere. I've looked through this scripture of Luke, and I didn't see Jesus quoting chapter and verse. He just said, it's written. It's real simple. But we try to make it real hard. We try to make it in such a way that we try to make it say something that it doesn't say. Instead of asking the Holy Spirit to show us the light of what God is trying to convey here. And how does it apply to my life? How can I, as an individual, fulfill the call of God when I know that these temptations are trying to divert me from the call of God? Well, Pastor, you know, you're the spiritual giant around here. I am not. I struggle with the same stuff as you do. My difference? I don't give in to it. I don't give in to the temptation. I build my life with discipline. And if I fulfill my disciplines, then the Lord finds it in his heart to allow me some freedoms here. But if I haven't fulfilled those things, guess what? My spirit is in turmoil. Is your spirit in turmoil? Is your life in turmoil? Because your life reflects your spiritual condition. The life of this nation reflects the spiritual condition of this nation. And this nation is in trouble. Families are in trouble. Individuals are in trouble. Why? Because they don't know the word of the Lord. Temptation. Recognizing this temptation. Here's some simple things to ask yourself. Do I read and pray to build this discipline, or do I sit in front of the boob tube and become like the boob tube? Really? Do I participate in vulgar speech and vulgar habits with my co-workers, or do I refuse to be a party of it and do things to exhibit the life of Jesus Christ? Even though they condemn me, even though they say I'm no fun, even though they don't care, guess what? I'm not here to please them. I'm here to please Him. And so are you. Who are you pleasing? Well, you know, I'm afraid that they won't like me. Be friends with the world is to be an enemy with God. It's real simple. You can't sit on the fence. Jesus said fence sitters will have sore crotches and they'll be thrown out into other Bolivian. Right? Yeah, He said, I'll spit you out. I know what the word says. Am I listening to gossip and spreading it? Or am I hearing it and praying for that individual? Well, this good thing happened to so-and-so. Or this bad thing, which, you know, bad news seems to travel really well. And we spread it. Well, that's not God. That's not godly. How do you know? Well, the word says we should not be gossipers. We should not have fellowship with them. Our speech should be clean. Our speech should be pure. Our speech should be holy, edifying, encouraging one another. Well, what do? We think the worst of each other. That tells me your mind's not renewed. That tells me you have a problem. Well, it's all about me. That tells me you have a priority problem. You're selfish and self-centered. You need to fall on your knees and repent before God. It's all about Him and what He wants. And what He wants is His house filled. Well, I just don't want to witness to somebody and be a hypocrite. Well, you're a hypocrite already. Get over it. Repent and start doing the things that God has told you to do. Be in His Word. Talk to Him. Prayer. I just talk. Say it's communication with God. Talk to Him and find out what it is that He wants you to do. What is doing your own thing? Thinking that you're going to get to the end of this thing but have little results? Or is it to study the Word and find out what He says to do and then apply it? Well, you know, I tend to be hard-headed, but I'll learn eventually. No, what you'll have is a lot of bumps on your head. You won't learn anything because you've told me that your heart is against God. You've told me that you would rather do it your way than do it His way. It may sound harsh, but that's true. It says the way of the fool is hard, but for the righteous, the faithful, there is life evermore. I would rather want to be the faithful and the righteous and allow God to build my life the way He wants to do it as I do what He tells me to do. Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor, you know, I'm just not where you are. No, but I was where you are and have overcome that. And so can you. Satan attacks us to place doubt in our minds about God's faithfulness, place doubt about the hope we have in Him, and to attack us through love. Hear me. Talk about faithfulness, our hope, and love. And it's usually attacking each other. We become accusatory. Well, this person didn't do that, so I'm going to do this. Oh, really? Okay. Where's the grace? Where's the mercy that God has bestowed upon you that you need to bestow upon them? Are we so busy to make excuses to throw our fellow believers under the bus? Or are we taking responsibility for our part? And that's all God's asking. Take responsibility for yours. That too is my servant, and I'll deal with him. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. Well, God, you just sit up on your throne. I'll straighten them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see how that works for you. I've tried that. That's called unsanctified mercy. Mm-mm. This boy got spanked a couple times. He's not doing it anymore. And some of you are in that. The problem is we have these very real temptations going on in our lives, and we're not even paying attention. We don't realize that we're in a warfare. We don't realize that this warfare is in our minds. And this is exactly what Jesus went through. He was in a spiritual battle. Satan was trying to place doubt in his mind about the Father and the Father's love and the Father's care and the Father's hope. He was successful against Adam, and Adam failed miserably. Israel hoped, but they failed miserably. They walked 40 years in the desert. Have you ever thought about why the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the desert? Why was it 40 days? Prophetically, I'll give you the keys. Prophetically, the world symbolizes the desert. That's what we live in. We live in a desert. No, we live in Williamstown. You're missing the point. Spiritually, we're in a desert. Jesus walked 40 days in the desert, one day for every year that Israel was disobedient and walked in the desert. He was actually recovering everything that was lost up to that point. And Satan was trying to get Jesus not to fulfill that. He was bridging the Old Testament, what happened with the Old Testament saints, and he was going to die to bridge for every believer in the future right there on the cross, which he died for you and for me. He fulfilled it perfectly. He did not give in to the temptation. He did not let Satan divert his attention from his call, his divine call, your divine call. Well, I have kids. So what? You want a medal for that? They're his kids. They're not yours. He's giving them to you to train. Well, you know, I have six kids, and it's really hard. I've known people that have had eight kids. All under the age of eight. And hear me, ladies, gentlemen. Not once did I hear a peep out of those kids. Not once were they disrespectful. Not once did they conduct themselves in a way that would bring dishonor to God and dishonor to their parents. Well, I just want to be a friend to them. Yeah, you could be a friend. Go ahead. How's it working for you? I'm telling you right now, God has a prescription for every problem, and it's in here. He exposes every problem. The reason why you don't have success is you're not applying the word to the seed of understanding. Remember, the enemy's ploy is to get you and to get me from fulfilling the divine call in our lives. As I said in those teachings in Sit, Walk, and Stand, he's trying to get us out of position. Well, I just don't want to share the word of God. It's not about what you want. It's about what you were created for. Well, you know, I just don't know what to say. Then come to Bible study. Get discipled. Well, you know, discipleship is just not my thing. You know, it's archaic, and it's, you know, I just can't sit there. You know, I don't need it. Okay. Don't come running to me to fix your life. You better get on your knees and ask God to take it over and fix it. Because you're on a road to disaster. I know. I was there. And I asked him to fix it. So recognizing these temptations is, first of all, it's predicated on you knowing what he says. Second of all, to do what he says. And Satan doesn't want you to do what he says, because when you do what he says through obedience, you get power and authority through your obedience to what he says. He doesn't want you. Jesus gave you all power and authority. You are supernatural beings. You don't have to wait for Tom to come alongside of you, or Phyllis to come alongside of you. You don't have to. It's between you and the Lord. What is it that God has said? That's why it's real important that families get on the same program, get on the same page. Because if you're not on the same page, guess what? Your life reflects it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying there are things behind the closed doors that go on that brings tension and strife and all. Because one doesn't want the things of God while the other one is pushing for it. And what does God say about that? Read the Word. See what He says. It says your chaste behavior will win that one. So that you can walk together. Well, I gotta tell them what to do all the time. Do you think that's a problem? That's a temptation. That's called control. It's called witchcraft. It's called allowing the spirit of Jezebel to rule and reign in your household. Oh, well, I just thought it was her. I didn't think that Jezebel spirit has no definition of gender. It will work in anybody's life if you give it to it. Recognize the temptation. Does this take me out of the will of God? Does this keep me in the will of God? Overcoming temptation. I'll give you 12 things. What's 12 symbolize? Government. You have the ability to rule and reign your life, not someone else's. One. Make sure you haven't brought sin in or filled with unforgiveness. I just can't stand that person. Well, forgive them. Nah, that person's lost forever. Don't you understand that unforgiveness is healing you? Two, confess all sin and get it washed in the blood of Jesus. John says, faithful is He. If we confess our sins, faithful is He who will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us. The first one is the sin of being slothful. That's a sin. The sin of doing our own thing is a sin. Oh, it's not that bad. Well, tell God that. See what He says. It's that bad. If you're not doing the will of God and what you're doing is everything contrary to it, you're in sin. I'm not saying it. He's saying it. Well, I don't want to read the Word of God because it's filled with everything in there and it just doesn't make me feel good. It's the only book in the world that really tells you the condition of your heart and my heart and prepares you with a remedy. The only book. This book is alive. It's powerful. It's able to cut away those thoughts that think it's so grandiose and really humble us. Well, God, You need to humble me. My Word says You humble yourself under the heavy hand of God. You! He's given you the ability to humble yourself. This is what I'm talking about. We have an unrighteous a demand of God. Humble me, God. I can't even sing those songs. They're so unbiblical. I looked at those words that come up and it's like, where are you coming from with this? It's not biblical. I'm not participating in that. That's just for me. When you find yourself being tempted, ask God to strengthen you to go through it. That's what Jesus did. He went through it. Because going through it, you gain power and authority. The more that you're able to overcome that nonsense, the more powerful you become. You realize that? More authority you have. You're not just having authority over yourself. Now, all of a sudden, you have authority over your family, over your extended family. You have authority in the church. You're working with your church family. Faithfully follow the Holy Spirit's leading as you go through it. God says that if you're in the fire, He's in the fire with you. If you find yourself overwhelmed and drowning in something, He says He's in there with you. Why? Because He isn't going to circumvent the circumstance. He's going to bring you through that circumstance because He wants you to be filled with power and authority. That's who God is. And our Father wants it for us. 5, know the Word and act upon it by faith. Don't try to figure it out, as many of us have tried. Do it. Just do it. Well, you know, I'm the type of deep thinker that there is. And, you know, I really need to understand. You know, I consider myself a fairly deep thinker. And my brain shuts down. Why? Because I think I get so far out of bounds that I can't comprehend what it is that God wants. And some of you guys have sat with me and I've asked you, I've said, does this seem like it's really out there? And of course, some of them go, no, it's not out there. You're out there, but that's not out there. I appreciate it. I don't want somebody telling me an untruth. I want them to tell me the truth. 6, temptation comes at both high points and low points in our lives. Understand that when He comes, its sole purpose is to deviate you from accomplishing your divine call. High points is when you have victory over something. Oh, God, I gave up smoking this week. And next thing you know, you crash down with depression because your body is rejecting this new cleansing that's coming in, and you become depressed. Why did I ever give up smoking? The temptation is to go back to what you did before, not believing God to strengthen you through it, because He wants to give you power and authority. But it's only through your obedience that He does this. 7, Satan is real, and so are his temptations. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. What are you thinking about? What are you talking about? If you don't have good things to say about a person, my mom used to say, don't say anything. You can't get crucified for thinking it, though. Really. Keep it between the lips. Don't spurt it out. Until you get your mind renewed, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. Think about it. Sometimes truth really hurts people. Sometimes, you know what? You just need to hear the truth from a friend. The wounds of a friend. 8, He attacks us when we are most vulnerable. And He'll attack us through a temptation of sin. He'll attack us through sickness. He'll attack us through our kids. He'll attack us by other people. He'll attack us through family members. He'll attack us through our jobs or lack of jobs. He's got a gamut of stuff that He will use. Understand, our Father is so good, He will turn that bad thing, if we will do what He tells us to do, into something good for us, because that's what it says, the Word says. Nine. Satan uses the lust of eyes, the lust of the flesh, and a pride of life to make us doubt God's faithfulness, His hope for us, and His love for us. 10, temptation is part of the human experience, and it is lifelong. Jesus realized this and overcame every failure that Adam had and gave us the victory. He overcame, He didn't keep it to Himself, He gave it to us and said, here's the keys. The kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to have the keys of the kingdom. 11, Satan will try to divert Jesus from fulfilling His divine call, and He is doing the same to us at this moment. If I was to ask you, what is your call? How many of you could tell me what your divine call in Jesus Christ is? how many are walking it. Mind you, I didn't say are being perfected in it. I'm just saying are walking in obedience, because it's a scary thing to walk in areas where, you know what, you've never been there before. You don't know what's going on. And you're, God knows, you're not even sure if you're stepping on a landmine or a cow chip. You know, but you're going to walk. And that's the way I am. I'm going to do this thing until it blows me up. And guess what? God's going to put me back together. And I'm going to walk some more. I'm not going to let the enemy win. And every time he assaults me, I go right back and I assault his kingdom by winning people to Jesus Christ. And that should be every day we should be doing that. Well, you know, my testimony isn't the way it should be. Brush it up. God's not asking you for perfection. He's just asking you for obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And 12, make sure you're in the Word, immediately put into practice. Your obedience will determine your freedom, your quality of life, and your very existence will depend upon it. Whether you understand it or not is immaterial. The truth is what I just said to you. Your very existence, your very freedom, and quality of life depends upon it. God has given you the power. He needs you to exercise your faith in order to manifest this power. He has given you the victory. And we walk around shamed of what He's done for us. We should go out there and shout people down in love. Hear me. In love. And testify of what Jesus has done, because they can't take your testimony from you. And that testimony is based on your relationship to God. If you're doing things contrary, it is your decision to allow Satan to tempt you to be contrary. Repent, get it under the blood, and walk this thing out. Amen? God has a great call on our lives, all our lives. It's not the same calling. My calling is not your calling. But your calling and my calling is here to build up the local church. If we are not actively pursuing how we can serve one another and serve those out there that need Jesus Christ, we're in sin. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. And from this point forward, I expect you, and God expects you, to begin to start putting these things into practice daily. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that your word for temptation, the temptation in itself is not wrong, but the actions that we choose will determine our eternal destiny. Father, forgive us for being so slothful. Forgive us for thinking that we're so mindful and filled of ourselves, Lord, that we know anything. God, you are so good and you love us so much, Lord, that as you showed me years ago, that we're not expand past our foundations. And it is so true, God, that I ask, God, that you build this house. You build us, God. You build us to love one another and to love you with a whole heart, God. That Matthew 6:33 would be our mantra. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Father, cleanse us in the blood. Cleanse us. And cause our eyes to recognize these temptations that come to us. And help us, Holy Spirit, to constantly remind our minds, will this be something to divert my attention from the call that you have on my life? That will be the thing that will help us to discern if we're going to walk your will or just talk it. Father, cause a burning sensation to come into our hearts like Karen had seen, God, that fire. And allow that anointing to consume us. For we have been anointed to preach the good news. To heal the brokenhearted. To set captives free. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To talk about eternal judgment. God, May Hebrews 6 be our reality, God, that we would go on to maturity. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for every ear. But more importantly, God, I ask that every heart put feet on their actions, God. As a well-oiled army, God, doing your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.